The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Derek Dorch of the Diversa Group, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dorch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for stopping by this show. Always glad to have you. Today, we're going to be talking about what's going on in terms of the government contracting market. We're going to be talking about a couple of different things. Any kind of trends in terms of hiring? What is going on? What kind of careers are we seeing that's constantly going strong? Are we seeing some kind of declines in some parts of the industry? Are we seeing certain things in terms of the OPM situation? Has that resolved itself? Have we seen a number of people, you know, trying to say, listen, I may not go into government because I don't necessarily trust government with my information anymore? What are we seeing in terms of trends? And also, we're going to be talking about how to market yourself. We've got one of our favorite guests on here, Mike Bruni. He's a talent acquisition leader in the contracting industry. He's been around for a long time, working for a lot of different firms. He's that person who you talk to and he looks at your resume and he tries to find a match between you and the company and to see if it's good to go. So he has a lot of great information on this market, what's going on, and how to get into the market. Mike, welcome to Fed Access.
Thank you, Derek. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to be on.
Always. What are you seeing in terms of the current market, market and hiring and industry? What trends are going on?
Thanks, Derek. Yeah, and, you know, since the last time we chatted, not a ton of change. To give you sort of a snapshot of what we're looking at here, primarily in the, the greater Washington, D.C. market, but more so across the country as well, still sluggish, still challenging. I think with government budgets still being uncertain, there's still a lot of uncertainty in the market. That being said, there has not been, you know, a change in the issues. You had mentioned the OPM and the cyber issues and things of that nature. So certainly, as an industry, we do have opportunities ahead of us. There's certainly a lot of work being done on creating solutions for cyber and other areas. So certainly there is a lot, you know, percolating right now. What it has not actually reached is to the point where we're starting to see a really robust recovery from a few years ago. So as we continue to forecast and look ahead, there are some positives, but still sluggish. Not enough right now to say, hey, we're headed to a full recovery.
Right.
And, you know, things are
coming back hard.
And absolutely.
And let me ask this question, Mike, because I've been reading some rumblings, and tell me what you're seeing. I've had some, you know, and some concerns that some companies have kind of said we're not going to, and I don't think they're going to ever completely pull out of the government market, but they're starting to switch gears and redirect resources to different industries rather than be government. Are you starting to see that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Certainly in any downed market in this industry and going back in any down market in this industry that I've been part of, we certainly have our share of mergers and acquisitions, divestitures. We've seen quite a few of those across the industry. So we'll probably continue to see that. Interestingly enough, the types of divestitures that we're seeing, you know, services in the government market, some say are now a commodity because we live in a low cost, technically acceptable environment. So as you look across sort of the spectrum there, the competitive spectrum, you start to see companies competing, you know, for lowest cost, lowest price. So what that's done, it's actually driven the value of services down, and it's led a lot of companies to really shed that business line within their organizations, and they've really started to focus more on the solution aspects. We mentioned cyber, we mentioned data analytics, things of that nature, where we're starting to look ahead as an industry to say, okay, what are these solutions for the challenges of today, even leading into tomorrow? So, yes, I think a lot of companies have looked internally, have started to strategize in what to pursue, and ultimately what our government customers are going to be looking for.
You know, as we look at, you know, maybe kind of a dynamic of where things are going, and even with this challenging kind of uncertain times, we still have cyber, we still have, you know, a certain kind of, what I would probably kind of say, that kind of special operations, low intensity conflict type missions that are going on right now. Are those certainties that are still kind of being hired for, and is that just more of the strong technical person, or a person who really has a certain unique skill set or background? I mean, who are those people?
As we look around, you had mentioned, you know, we throw that word cyber around a lot. Mm-hmm. It means a lot of things. There's a lot of different skill sets, a lot of different areas of expertise that are within that broad term cyber. I think as you look back, you look at the OPM issue, you look at the OPM incident, you even go back a little further and you look at the Sony incident. Mm. I don't think that the cyber issue is just a government or a government contracting problem. I think it's across the board. We see a threat to our critical infrastructure that I think goes above and beyond. I think when we see an OPM and we see a Sony, it starts to bring it in, you know, it becomes a reality of what the costs are. I think it starts to bring it home of really how important this is and how devastating this can be. So I think we're seeing a snowball effect here. And yes, the types of talent that we're looking to bring to the table, defensive cyber folks, it's certainly a hot field. It's something that I think is on the radars of every company here in this industry, some type of cyber practice coming out of this. I mean, number one, you can start with defending your own network and your own company. So there's the entire systems, you know, breach of a system. There's also the insider threat issue where you have someone inside your organization who may have access to information that may, you know, for monetary purposes or whatnot, give out that information. So it's, you know, the cyber really encompasses a lot of different areas. There's a lot of different threat areas.
You know, you just kind of touched on a lot of different topics right there, Mike. And it sounds as if, from what I'm kind of getting a sense of, and tell me if you kind of sense this as being correct, you know, with situations like Sony, I mean, we you know, just even recently I saw the Target phishing scenario where the guy was acting like he was a Target employee or the Target help desk or whatever, and was talking to customers, you know, in a kind of crazy way. It seems as if the business sector, law enforcement, you know, business and government are starting to kind of come together and really take a look at this in a holistic way. I know that the president mentioned one period of time that they were talking about developing this kind of new cyber, you know, kind of intelligence, you know, apparatus, but it was going to have industry as well as government working together. Is that where we're heading right now, where the markets are starting to kind of, you know, blend in and industry and law enforcement and intelligence are all kind of working together in a certain kind of way?
I think we have to. And certainly, yes, I see the trend going there where we have such an integrated system, be it government, private industry, academia, what have you. I think to get ultimately to a solution, if there ever is a solution, everyone is going to have to work together. We all, you know, we're all on the same networks. So we can all access, you know, networks and things of that nature. So, yes, I think ultimately the solutions lie in our ability to collaborate, our ability to work together, our ability to feed off each other, and ultimately to deliver solutions that, again, make us more strategic in a sense that, you know, whether it be defensive, a government system, whether it be an academic system, a financial system, a corporation, I think all of the answers come in our ability to work together. And yes, I think that's where we're headed. I think that ship has sailed. So I think we are on the road of working together. I think there's a long way to go, but certainly this is going to be a collaborative effort to get ultimately to a solution where we have a more solid foundation as it relates to cyber.
You know, when we come back, I want to talk about the dynamics of OPM and this whole period. I mean, I know this got a lot of press in terms of the number of people who were, you know, basically identified, 22-something million. who said, hey, their information is out there. I want to talk about, does that have an impact? And are you seeing an impact upon top talent saying that, hey, maybe I don't want to go to government or things like that? So I want to talk about the impact in terms of perception, maybe the impact in terms of the talent that is going to go into the government contracting side or go into the government agencies as well, and what is going to happen with that in the long term. We're talking to Mike Bruni. He's a talent acquisition leader in the contracting industry. He's been around for a long time, working for a number of different some of the top companies out there, really kind of looking at kind of talent acquisition, the human capital, bringing the right people in to do the job, especially to support a lot of government different agencies. We're talking about what's going on in the industry right now as it relates to human capital issues, as it relates to talent acquisition, as it relates to the trends. And also we'll be talking about how people should market themselves later on in this, in these uncertain times. So we'll be getting into that later on as well. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be right back after this break.
How are federal agencies taming the big data beast? Find everything you need to know about big data inside Federal News Radio's ebook. Register to get a copy of our exclusive free expert edition, Big Data, and learn how OMB's Data Act standards impact your agency, what innovations chief data officers apply from big data discoveries, and how agencies are using data analytics to make better mission-critical decisions. Download Federal News Radio's expert edition, Big Data, sponsored by MarkLogic, at federalnewsradio.com. Search expert edition. Calling all government, military, and defense industry executives, the Association of the United States Army invites you to attend its 61st Annual Meeting and Exposition, October 12th through the 14th at the Washington Convention Center.
More than 500 exhibitors will display the latest defense technology, and forums will be held for soldiers, family members, government defense civilians, and industry executives.
Join more than 26,000 people in this unique defense forum.
Admission is free, but limited to qualified persons. Special AUSA membership now available. For info, visit AUSAAnnualMeeting.org.
What are the key strategic priorities for HUD? How does HUD position itself as the Department of Opportunity? What is HUD doing to improve its operational performance? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and more with Nani Coloretti, Deputy Secretary, U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. for the Business of Government Hour on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Weekends were made for football in Annapolis. Gather the family and be part of the tradition as the Mids take on Tulane Saturday, October 24th at 1 p.m. It's homecoming weekend, and the excitement of Navy football is underway. Don't miss the action. To get the best seats, call the Navy ticket office today at 1-800-US-4-NAVY or go to NavySports.com. Again, that's 1-800-US-4-NAVY or go to NavySports.com. Navy football, it's American.
A healthy body is an amazing system. Your heart tells itself when to beat. Your lungs enrich the blood your heart is pumping. And your blood fuels the organs that let you hear this message. At Kaiser Permanente, we know a thing or two about well-tuned systems. Our doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and specialists are constantly working together. Because when we work together, your health is the reward. Kaiser Permanente. Together we thrive. Visit kp.org today.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated. 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we've been having an interesting conversation on what's going on with the government contract industry. What's going on in terms of talent acquisition? We're kind of seeing that we're still in uncertain times right now in terms of government hiring, in terms of government contract hiring, and everything else. There are some industries that are strong, but there are still a lot of kind of uncertain times that we're facing, some challenging times. We're talking about how to deal with that and what people should know about that, and also how to market yourself in these kind of uncertain times. We're talking to Mike Bruni. He is one of the talent acquisition leaders in this space, and he's given us some insight. Mike, you know, we both know about this OPM situation, and everybody has known if you're following, you know, the news cycle. What's been the impact that you've seen upon perception? Is it perception that being that people are kind of maybe staying away from government a little bit, or people are saying, you know what, we understand the situation?
First off, I think an issue, you know, an incident like OPM, I think reminds us, or at least makes us aware of how vulnerable we really are. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a matter of whether it changes the pursuit of one individual to pursue a government career as opposed to a private industry career. I think this more, if anything, I think it would drive someone to the cyber industry because we see the threats, we see how vulnerable, we see the fear it instills in us. So again, between OPM, Sony, and many others that we've seen, whether it be against the financial services industry in New York or what have you, whether we're hacking a bank, I think what it does, it makes us more aware. I have not seen, as a matter of fact, just the opposite effect. We're seeing more and more folks actually express interest in the cyber field. Going back to what you had mentioned, government budgets and whatnot, our industry, again, I think there's certainly a thirst and hunger there for cyber. I think we're very interested in possible solutions. I don't think yet the money is there for this industry to kind of really, really start that engine. I mean, there are a lot of initiatives going on. There's a lot of investments being made in industry, and a lot of times, internal investments made on developing new solutions and things of that nature. So I think, again, I think we have all of the foundation to take on this problem. Again, certainly a long way to go, but I think from a career standpoint, you're seeing a hot market here. So for anyone thinking about or currently pursuing a career, wanting to pursue a career in the cyber field, and again, I say cyber, that encompasses a lot of different areas. Certainly, I think there's a future ahead for you. You mentioned also we are heading into an election year, and yes, it becomes a year where we tend to not see a lot of change in government contracting. But certainly, we'll be heading into fiscal 2017 at some point. And I think over the course of time, next 2 to 3 years, I think you will start to see sort of us turn the corner there and really start to make a little bit more investment in this area. Again, I think slowly but surely this will snowball. But certainly for anyone thinking about a career in cyber, it's certainly one that that doesn't have its end of problems. And right. I think you'll continue to see robust growth in this marketplace.
You know, with this whole dynamic right now, and you know, we're hearing about the challenges with Russia, the challenges with, when General Odinero just left, a lot of them are saying that Russia is our main threat. Are we starting to see maybe a shifting in terms of kind of whether it be weaponry or certain things that kind of align with the talk that we're hearing out of some of the defense officials right now, or that still is a little bit too early to see that come out because of what we're dealing with right now with the fiscal situations?
Yeah, I can't speak to that. I will say this. I think what we're seeing are a lot of organizations, again, be industry, be nonprofit, be private sector, be your own personal computer. I think what we're starting to look at is how do we shore up our system? How vulnerable are we? What haven't we thought of yet? I think there are obviously a lot of weaknesses in our infrastructure that any adversary could certainly take advantage of. And unfortunately, it's one of those cases, we don't know we're vulnerable until it actually happens. So I think that being said, industry can certainly bring solutions on how do we be preemptive? How can we, how can we anticipate, in fact, things of this nature? So again, as we sort of combine a career in cyber with someone who's actually pursuing that career, I think there's a lot of opportunity for our talented folks out there in engineering and in network security, that ideas and things of that nature, and being able to bring together a technical solution to this, I think is imperative. I think we need it. And I think, again, you'll continue to see this grow.
With the situation right now with Equip and all other kind of pieces, at first it was down, now it's kind of back up. What are you sensing? What are you hearing out there, Mike, in terms of is there going to be improvement? Is that something that's being addressed, or is this kind of something that we got to deal with?
Yeah, I think it's always been part of the process. I mean, there's a huge administrative piece to the overall process, whether it be granting new access or reciprocity. I think we just have to be patient and let that take its course. There's a lot that goes into that process. So it is an administrative piece there that I know that the folks that actually handle that are working hard to get those through. I think also some of our issues, it goes back to budgets. We both on both industry as well as government, we don't have the people that we used to have as far as the numbers of folks and things of that nature. So I think a lot of that plays into that.
Right.
I think ultimately what you see here is, again, it will go back. I don't necessarily know that the OPM issue had anything to do with it, administration or anything like that. Certainly, the system was closed for a little while until, obviously, it could come back online. But, again, I think at the end of the day here, what we're looking at is how vulnerable we really are. And I think, again, as we continue to move forward here, we're going to find out more and more. And as it relates to, the overall industry as it is cyber, we're only going to grow.
You know, as we think about this, Mike, and I'm thinking about kind of the job seeker now, what recommendations, because we haven't really given a whole bunch of great news for the market, for the job seeker, right? and we have to just tell the truth to it. But, for the job seeker out there right now, in terms of looking at government, maybe government contracting, is it really a time period now that if you have certain clearances? Because even some people who have clearances have been having a hard time, getting hired. The days of just you had a clearance and you could get hired are not necessarily there anymore. Mm-hmm. Are we seeing that the sectors, maybe the private sector and other markets, that a person can say, well, I can take maybe my analytical skills and just what you were mentioning before about maybe I can go into the private sector where they're focusing on big data or analysis or something like that. What should the job seeker be doing, and if they were interested in government, to hold out in the market and maybe say, I got to do some other stuff in the meantime, but I'm still interested. Maybe I can hit down in 2017, but I can do these other things. What would you suggest?
Well, when we look at the in-demand skill set, mm-hmm. and again, I keep coming back to cyber, sure. It's more than there, but I'll use cyber as an example. Having certain network security and cyber skills, certainly, and here being in the government contracting industry, the demand that we had years ago certainly is not there now. Shrinking budgets, the drawdown of certain missions and things of that nature, which grew the industry over the better part of the last decade, is just not there right now. So certainly you have a workforce that has trained up in these technologies and things of that nature. Yes, there are career paths, of course, in the government contracting field. There are career paths with the federal government, local governments, but also a budding commercial marketplace mm-hmm. In cyber, whether it's to protect the corporation's infrastructure or if it's an organization that's actually consulting, providing this type of cyber consultation. The opportunities are continuing to grow out there in different sectors of the economy. So overall, as you look at cyber, it's certainly hot. It's a popular term. It's it's a popular field, and it's only getting more popular due to these incidents. So I will say to anyone out there right now, whether you are in school, whether you are in the market, you have this background, you've got the training, you've got the experience, certainly competitive. However, it's not going to go away. I think you're only going to see this sort of, tweak up in the marketplace. Right now, we're not seeing a sharp increase, particularly in this market, of hiring, but slowly but surely over the course of time, you're starting to see that tick up. To make yourself and to continue to keep yourself competitive, you have to stay on the cutting edge. Mm. So as in all technology, for anyone out there pursuing a career in the cyber field or the data analytics field, you have to stay on the top of technology. You've got to keep your skills sharp. If certifications are involved, you've got to keep those up to date. Certainly continue to build upon the changing technology as it changes, because it does very quickly, and staying ahead of that curve there is certainly going to benefit you long term.
We're talking to Mike Bruni. He is a talent acquisition leader in the contracting industry. He's been around this for a long time, working for some of the major companies, really bringing in talent to those companies in order to serve the government clients that they're working on a number of different issues, whether it be intelligence, whether it be healthcare, whether it be the cyber industry and everything else. We're talking about what's going on in this market right now, trying to get some insight and understand that it may not be a great market, but there are some areas of trends, cyber and other things, that people need to continue to stay on the cutting edge with, continue to get that training on, continue to get those additional experiences and not allow yourself to get stale in this market. You know, make sure that you remain competitive as much as possible and how to do it. We'll be right back after this break. We're going to keep this conversation going and keep on getting some insight. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
And now here's Roger Greenwell, DISA's cybersecurity director, heard recently during a live interview and online chat with Federal News Radio, underwritten by Lockheed Martin.
A cloud provider can offer services to DoD with a provisional authorization. The mission owner ultimately has the responsibility to issue the authority to operate. And the reason that's done separately is that the provisional authorization looks at the core controls that are required, but it doesn't consider fit and function for a particular mission.
Technology that enables cars to drive themselves. Routine missions to Mars. Innovations like these are changing ideas of what technology can do. So imagine what the people behind them are doing in cybersecurity. With intelligence-driven defense, Lockheed Martin proactively finds and defeats cyber attacks, even from threats that don't exist today. To see how, visit us at LockheedMartin.com/cyber.
Here's Dr. Naveen Vembar, director of the GSA IT Integrated Award Environment, on the Open for Business, the State of the Government Cloud Panel discussion, sponsored by Red Hat and Dell Federal.
The risks start shifting so that we start looking to really understand how we go away from let's worry about everything that we're doing up front to one where we spread that planning and that activity throughout the course of actual implementation and start showing product and progress rapidly.
To listen to the whole program, log on to federalnewsradio.com/Red Hat.
You are the company you keep. At Red Hat, we keep good company. Hi, I'm Stanley Strader with Red Hat. We've partnered with Dell, the industry leader in compute, storage, and integrated solutions to bring open, cost-effective, reliable technology platforms to our customers. Agencies need rapidly scalable cloud infrastructures. Dell and Red Hat deliver secure, enterprise-grade cloud infrastructures for greater agility, all cost-effectively, all open source. Trusted partners with proven results. Visit redhat.com/Dell.
Some me time with a good book on the train.
A snooze while others take the wheel.
Commuting the way that works for me.
Me too.
Whatever your ideal commute is, Commuter Connections gives you the options to ride happy. Save money and improve your commute. Go to commuterconnections.org to see all your free ride-sharing options. That's commuterconnections.org or 800-745-RIDE. Ride happy.
Want to get valuable insights into the spending priorities and business opportunities across the federal marketplace? Then you won't want to miss the PSC Vision Conference in Falls Church, Virginia on November 18th and 19th. Presented by the Professional Services Council, the Vision Conference is in its 51st year of providing the only nonprofit federal market forecast that looks at services and technology spending across the entire government. Register today at pscouncil.org and stay updated on Vision News by using hashtag Vision Forecast.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we have been talking about what's going on in the government contracting space in terms of jobs, in terms of the trends, in terms of the market. Has the OPM situation had an impact on the market? We're getting this insight from Mike Bruni. He's a talent acquisition leader in the contracting industry. Been around for a long time working for some of the major firms that are out there who are doing this kind of work. He understands the market, has the insight on it because he's dealing with it every single day. We're trying to understand what's going on for the job seeker, for those who are already in the market, maybe thinking about moving to another, you know, industry, maybe thinking about going for government full time, maybe think about stepping out of the market and government contracting and going into the commercial side. What should you do right now in terms of making sure that you are achieving the career success that you want to have? You know, Mike, you know, you were mentioning about kind of, you know, a person kind of keeping on the cutting edge and making sure that they stay competitive right now. You see resumes constantly. I mean, you're talking to job seekers constantly. What kind of grabs you? I mean, how does a person impress you as a talent acquisition professional?
As you know, Derek, I present to a lot of different folks, mm-hmm. Specifically on this topic, on this subject. And it's a question that I get quite often is, you know, how do I catch your attention? Or why isn't an employer getting back to me? And it comes down to the marketability of the individual. You know, there are all kinds of instructional manuals out there, classes, coaching going on. The fact of the matter is an individual is hired for their skills, or at least their future potential, mm-hmm. based on those skills. So when you are approaching an organization, approaching an employer, it is the onus falls to you to convey and articulate as best as possible and in a way that that employer can understand. So someone in the cyber field, if I'm pursuing work with a particular organization, being at a government agency, being at a private sector company, you have to make sure that you articulate, leave the impression in the way that you present your background experience training on a resume, your ability to do that in a networking type of environment, your ability to do that in any kind of phone or face-to-face interview. You have to leave them with the impression that, hey, you are the answer to my problem. So to me, it comes back to the ability to market your expertise, your skills, as well as your future potential with that particular employer.
You know, when you think about the companies you've worked for, Mike, I mean, probably are getting, you know, hundreds to the thousands of resumes coming in. If you start seeing kind of the same keywords or the same things, is it the success story? Is it, you know, what is that one piece, you know, what is hindering people?
You know, you're hitting it on the head, Derek. You know, two of the things that I always point out anytime I give advice on career seeking is, number one, the ability to really identify what it is that you want to do, what it is that you're good at, what it is that you want to pursue. You cannot approach the job market with the mindset of, I will do anything, okay?
Right.
It's a watered-down marketing attempt. You will not be as successful as someone who knows what they want to do, has a marketing plan for themselves, has really performed that self-assessment, and is able to articulate in such a way that it resonates with a potential employer. So understand that employers today are dealing with a very large volume of interested candidates, of candidates that actually can apply. Remember, all we need is a cell phone or a computer or whatnot or a tablet to send a resume in. You don't necessarily have to be qualified for the opportunity. Anyone can apply to a job. So we have a ton of volume. Sifting through all of that volume to try to identify the right person is extremely difficult, time-consuming.
Right.
So there's a very, very short period of time. We have to make that balance of identifying the right person with the opportunity in such a time so we can meet our deliverables, so we can meet our mission. So the fact that someone would approach us more or less, as we would say, unprepared, not able to market themselves, and coming at it in a way that almost makes them sound desperate is sort of a turnoff to a number of of organizations. I'm certainly not saying that anyone who's done that is doomed to fail and will not. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, as a best practice, it is better to have a marketing plan for yourself as well as the knowledge of the organization to target that marketing plan.
Right. But, you know, and the question of it is, and a lot of times people, you know, and it really kind of baffles me that a lot of job seekers are just not doing the homework. It seems they're not looking at the organizations. They kind of just think they can just go and kind of just send out maybe one resume that's not been targeted, or they can just kind of go and as you just kind of mentioned, kind of give maybe the same kind of spiel about certain things. And I tell people that it's really like a relationship, just like you mentioned. One, you don't want to seem desperate, but two, you really want to kind of find out what the person that you're, you know, has interest in, and then maybe kind of say, well, I've got those interests too, and maybe match it up.
Agreed. Absolutely. And to go back on your original point there, Derek, yes, I don't believe that folks take the time to really prepare a plan, to really do that self-assessment. I think we're very quick. Most people who may be looking for a job, it's typically someone coming out of school. They're very anxious. They tend to move quick. They want to get that resume out. The old philosophy of get it out there to as many people as possible mm-hmm. to get recognized doesn't really work today. I think it worked years ago where there was less volume. It was not the information age. It was a paper process for the most part years ago. Today, again, with everything being paperless in an information age, very difficult to get the upper hand in your job search by just doing a mass mass distribution of your resume. It really has to be thought out. It has to be creative. It has to appeal to the audience that you're targeting.
You know, when we think about this dynamic, and I want to kind of even, because social media is constantly changing, right? What's your take on social media and a job search? I mean, is it still a valuable tool? Some people have gotten concerns about it. Some people say, hey, you definitely need a LinkedIn profile. What's your take on it? I mean, you know, do you use that? Also, do you take a look at people's social media if you can find their Facebook, if you can find certain things? How much is that being used in terms of evaluating a person who maybe you have an interest of and say you've talked, you know, looked at their resume, they may have, you know, caught your interest a little bit. Are you out there checking their name out? I mean, how much are you going into that?
Certainly. Social media, to answer your initial question there, Derek, is certainly not going away. It will continue to proliferate. I think what we see today, your typical, you know, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, I think they're only going to grow, and probably you'll see, you know, newer platforms in the future. I think employers look at these tools as certainly key tools to identify talent. With the time pressures that we have as employers, particularly talent acquisition recruiters, social media does make it a lot easier for us with the time pressures that we have to identify folks, and in a lot of cases, the ability to reach out to folks. That won't be going away. Certainly, there's a risk in everything. I know some folks are opposed to jumping onto social media, and that there's valid reasons for that. With all of that being said, we have to look at the statistics and recognize that, you know, more than 75% of employers are using a form of social media to seek and identify talent. So if you are one in the market that's looking for an opportunity, in addition to every other resource, and trust me, I'm a proponent of using multiple resources to identify opportunities, I think social media has to be at the top of your list as a resource to utilize in order to connect with that potential employer. Also, social media can be used as a good reference and research tool. All companies have that as part of their marketing strategy for the most part. So there's a ton of information on organizations that you can research. But yes, most employers, if not all, are using some form of social media in the talent identification and the hiring process.
You know, with that, and I want to kind of go into the next segment, because this really kind of goes into the importance of networking. And I want you to talk about that, Mike, because, I mean, if there's anybody who believes in networking, is an advocate of networking, is you, and it's been effective. But I want you to talk about the do's and don'ts of networking, because, I mean, I think even with social media and just maybe the accessibility that people may have to each other, or maybe even going to different events, there are some do's and don'ts. There are some ways in which you can, you know, maybe, you know, grab a person's attention, but there are many ways in which people are turning off people as well when they're going into networking. And I want you to kind of speak to that. And I think that's more as important, especially in uncertain times and in challenging markets. People have to learn certain key attributes or key skills in order to make sure that they're more successful. We're talking to Mike Bruni. He's a talent acquisition leader in the contracting industry. He's been around for a long time working for some of the major companies, doing some great things, but really focusing in on the talent, looking at that job seeker, seeing if there's a match with the company, a match with the client that they're looking at, looking at their resumes and choosing the right person, you know, the consequences of a bad hire, making sure that he gets the right person, you know, for the right job, and then going through that. And he's given us his insights on the market and also the insights in order to help a job seeker succeed. But we'll be right back after this break. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This hour of news is brought to you by Boeing, delivering the enduring capability and value of the FA-18 Super Hornet to the U.S. Navy on schedule and on budget. Learn more at fa-18.com.
And now, Ask the CIO, brought to you by Mark Logic. Here's Pam Dyson, the Security and Exchange Commission CIO.
The EDW platform provides high-speed analytics and processing capabilities across the SEC. We have a number of divisions that are leveraging not only the data warehouse to store data, but also running analytics on top of the warehouse. The EDW was a foundational technology for IT, but it also serves as a catalyst for the next generation of data warehouse and analytics that we're planning as a part of our overall strategy.
Agencies collect and use vast quantities of information every day. Regardless of mission, it's difficult to leverage your data in a way that leads to service improvement, better decisions, and policy development. MarkLogic's new generation database supports your mission by ingesting any type of data for easier integration and faster delivery of information applications. For more information, visit MarkLogic.com. That's MarkLogic.com.
The new IP, a modern approach to networking, allowing agencies to develop flexible networks that can easily adapt to meet the critical challenges of today and tomorrow. Join Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller and industry experts at Brocade Federal, Anthony Robbins and Tony Celesti, as they debunk the myths of network modernization. The discussion will cover a variety of topics, including getting on the path to the new IP. Listen Tuesday at 12 noon.
Here's Keith Washington on Agency of the Month, U.S. Department of Transportation, sponsored by Evergreen ITS.
The administration put forth the Grow America Act, which would provide unprecedented investment in the nation's infrastructure. We really need sustained long-term transportation funding. We want to really celebrate our safety record and continue to enhance it with the vehicle-to-vehicle technology, next-gen, anything that we could do to promote the safest transportation system in the world.
To hear the entire show, go to federalnewsradio.com.
Here's Terrence Martin, president of Evergreen ITS, discussing federal IT services in today's climate.
The start of my career, it was more of a mainframe environment where things were more centralized and more consolidated. And as we moved to the networking world, things got more spread out. So now it seems like a full circle effect is taking place, moving to the cloud services and things of that nature.
For more information on how to partner with Evergreen, go to evergreenits.com.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we have been talking about the contracting market. We've been talking about kind of what jobs are out there. We've heard that, you know, the consistency is, of course, cyber. That's not going anywhere right now. That is the trend. But we've also heard that there are some challenging times in the market because of budgets and the fiscal situation of the government and everything else. And so we're still kind of trying to get past those moments. So we haven't seen the complete uptick of hiring that we have seen in previous years. But we've also seen that this is a time period where people shouldn't necessarily give up. The OPM situation has not only, you know, shown people that they were vulnerable, but it's also gotten people interested in the government market right now. And we've gotten these insights from Mike Bruni. He's a talent acquisition leader in the contracting industry, and he's kind of sharing his insights right now about what's going on in the market. And also, we're talking specifically now to the job seeker or those who are maybe thinking about maybe making a career change, a lateral move, an upward move in their industry, or whatever the case is. But what tips can help you succeed? Mike, in terms of networking, you know, talk to us about, you know, how important is that in terms of a success in this job market right now? What's your thoughts?
Absolutely. You know, we probably hear that term, you know, if we don't hear it once a week, we hear it a million times, networking. What is networking? A lot of people have different definitions of that, but to sum it up, networking is the ability to connect with another individual to form a relationship. It's more relationship building, and it, you know, it could be a business relationship, it could be a friendship. Networking as it relates to identifying an opportunity today is imperative. You know, I had mentioned with all of the volume that we see out there of candidates and the referrals and things of that nature with technology. Technology has made the candidate experience very impersonal. Mm. We tend to submit a resume into a system and we get an automated generated email back thanking us. If we are, you know, in a lot of cases, we do not hear from a human being. We typically don't, and in many cases may not hear back at all when submitting, because a lot of that has to do with volume. So it's very impersonal. Networking takes you sort of around that game. The ability to connect with a potential hire. I mean, when we hire today, we are picky. We take our time. We are looking for the right candidate. We're trying to do the best in making our assessment that, hey, this individual is the right person, but also this is an individual that's going to stay with us. So these are the types of things that we look for in new hires. The ability to network, the ability to make that human connection, the ability to, you know, hopefully develop that relationship could be the key to this. It could be the difference. And really, that's why it's encouraged. You also leave a different type of impression on one when you do meet them face to face, when you do network. And again, there's all different types of networking. There's certainly social networking. There's networking in person. There's networking in a lot of different ways. They're all relationship building. So I'd say that, you know, when you start to look at statistics that, hey, 70% of the folks in this country that get hired typically are identified through networking, that's a powerful statistic. I encourage anyone in the job market today to become as aggressive as you can with pursuing organizations, pursuing folks, speaking to folks, being referred, asking for referrals. This is all networking, and it's imperative to do and to employ in order to land not just an opportunity, but the career of choice and the job of choice.
You know, some people, Mike, will, and I get this, and I'm sure you hear this a lot. Some people say, listen, you know, I'm shy. And some people think and maybe get the wrong impression that you've got to be this extroverted person who's up in people's faces. But for that person who we constantly hear is shy, what's your advice to that person, Mike, in terms of success in doing this?
Absolutely. And I see it a lot. I talk to people about this. I've coached people about this. I always revert back to when making a hiring decision, and this is, and I think I speak for a lot of employers out there, you know, you always hear that 80-20, 80 on the soft side, 20 on the hard side. Mm-hmm. 80% soft skills, meaning your ability to communicate your interpersonal skills. That goes a very long way. If you are one who is uncomfortable with networking or is an introvert, you really need to start looking at building up those soft skills. I have no doubt that folks, whether they are introverted or extroverted, have very good hard skills, you know, those requirements for the position. But your ability to interact, your ability to communicate, whether it be verbally or written or what have you, is extremely important in every job that you take on. So I would say to that individual who is nervous about networking, use networking as practice to help build those communication skills, to really take away that fear that you have. And it's really the fear of the unknown. It's the fear of being judged incorrectly or that fear of a first impression. Ultimately, you will get over that, but it will benefit you for the rest of your career.
You know, as we think about this, Mike, and look at kind of the dynamics of job, what are some don'ts, just some key, or if you had to kind of say, hey, listen, don't ever do this. Because some people say, you know, some people use networking the wrong way and they think it's using people. And that's a turnoff that I know that I've seen and I'm sure you've seen. But are there, you know, one or two things that you just say, listen, don't do this. That's not the way to handle this.
Believe it or not, and I know we're talking about networking for careers here, but I would say one thing to not do is the first time you meet someone, don't feel that you have to shove your resume in front of them and say, hey, I need a job. Mm. Again, going back to what is networking, networking is building a relationship.
Right.
We all know that when we go to some type of networking event, we know the intentions. But before, don't get ahead of yourself. Establish a rapport, establish sort of a, you know, at least an initial relationship, an opening, if you will, with individuals prior to sort of making that pitch. That's understood. We know that's happening. I'd say that is a don't, number one. Number two, make sure that when you're networking, that it's not all about you. You have to take into consideration the other person. Make sure that this is an equal two-way street, that both parties or multiple parties are actually getting something out of this. Because, you know, if you network, obviously you're looking for assistance, but, you know, you can always help those folks as well. So, you know, there it's a two-way street networking, regardless of who is actually helping who. And you know, I'm one to think that something always comes back around. So it's always good to continue these relationships. Another don't don't just make the relationship or make the connection or do the networking, land the job that you're looking for and forget about that person. Mm. Again, it's a continuing relationship. And these are relationships built that can help you for the rest of your career. So there are a couple don'ts right there, just very basic, but I think commonly overlooked. But I think they would be the sort of what not to do when networking.
I hope people hear it because, I mean, you've pointed out three key things, you know, especially the three key things that prevent somebody to thinking that you're using me. And I think in networking, especially in the area that people are very, you know, competitive and people are trying to rise up the ladder, people don't feel like, you stepped on my head to rise up the ladder, then you forgot about me or things like that. Those are all some valuable insights, and I hope people can hear them and understand them and everything else. Mike, thank you so much for the insights today. As usual, we're going to have you back. You always are just a treasure trove of information, and I hope people can hear it and understand. You've got some great things. You know, Mike Bruni, you can Google him and see what he's got going on. Part of Project SAFE, part of a number of different things, always giving a hand to the community. And we appreciate you and appreciate everything you're doing. Thank you, Mike.
Dirk, thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
From the moment we're born, we want to be together. In our mother's arms, clinging to our father's leg, or squeezed into a family hug. Later, we gather friends around us, fellow warriors in the battle of adolescence. Then comes girlfriends and boyfriends and the iron will of hormones. And what is marriage if not together? Then before we know it, a whole new bundle of together arrives. Our pursuit of together touches our lives from start to finish. It's an idea we took to heart at Kaiser Permanente, which is why we're built on the idea of together. Healthcare and coverage together. Services gathered conveniently together. Connected care teams who work together to make your life as healthy as it can possibly be. Even though together is what makes us all the same, together is truly what makes Kaiser Permanente different. Become a member of Kaiser Permanente, because together we thrive. Join us at kp.org.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Organizations, agencies, and the private sector spend much of their resources on cybersecurity. With the recent data breaches at the OPM, Target, JPMorgan Chase, and other organizations, are we focusing on the wrong issues? In recognition of National Cybersecurity Awareness Month, we will be speaking with federal and industry experts about data security versus cybersecurity and the strides we are making to protect our citizens, infrastructure, and economy. Tune in this Wednesday at 12 noon on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, sponsored by Cloudera.
Here's Dave Mihelsik, the Chief Technology Officer at DISA, on the Open for Business, the State of the Government Cloud Panel discussion, sponsored by Red Hat and Dell Federal.
With cloud, you can achieve equivalent or better security than you can with a traditional environment. So one of the things that we've done in support of the Department of Defense is define a cloud security model that lays out the standards both for commercial clouds the DoD is going to use as well as for our internal private cloud.
To listen to the whole program, log on to federalnewsradio.com/redhat.
You are the company you keep. At Red Hat, we keep good company. Hi, I'm Stanley Strader with Red Hat. We've partnered with Dell, the industry leader in compute, storage, and integrated solutions to bring open, cost-effective, reliable technology platforms to our customers. Agencies need rapidly scalable cloud infrastructures. Dell and Red Hat deliver secure, enterprise-grade cloud infrastructures for greater agility, all cost-effectively, all open source. Trusted partners with proven results. Visit redhat.com/dell.
Join Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller for Ask the CIO, Thursdays at 10 and 2. Hear from your agency's top tech leaders on how they're using technology to change the way you meet your agency's mission. Ask the CIO is a must-listen for anyone who needs to know federal technology policy, implementation, and planning. Ask the CIO Thursdays at 10 and 2 on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Download at any time at federalnewsradio.com. Search Ask CIO.
Federal News Radio and Ackerman Security Systems Community Spotlight is the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Someday there will be a cure. Join the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society in their mission to make someday today by taking steps to end cancer at Area Light the Night walks, completing an endurance event with team and training, or fundraise through the student series programs. Make a donation to help fund critical research and patient programs. For more information, visit federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio charities are fed by Papa John's.